Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest, you guys. It's me, Jackie Cation. Sure, host of the Dork Forest. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com. Yep. You could even go to TheDorkForest.Bandcamp.com. Those are the premium episodes. And so note the word premium. There's $2 involved. Okay, so let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song you just heard. He sang it with his wife, Sarah Cohen. They will sing again at the end of this program. Well, he will. His words to the Mexican Hat Dance. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio, and Vilmos does JackieCation.com. He fixes that website, which is amazing. On that website, and DorkForest.com, you can get to most things. The big thing I should tell you about is I have a new comedy album. I have a new comedy album, and it's called I Am Not the Hero of This Story. It is available on iTunes and Amazon, and will eventually be available on the merch page on Jackie Cation. The merch page on JackieCation.com has all the merch. It's got all the t-shirts you want, a Ranger t-shirt, Spooky Reading Girl, and my CDs and my DVD, my previous ones, and one day, the new album, I'm Not the Hero of This Story. So get out there and buy the new album, you guys. On JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com, there's a link, an Amazon banner on JackieCation, which is just takes you to Amazon, and it's essentially a portal to Amazon. You order from Amazon like normal, and the Dork Forest gets a kickback. It's a way to support the show that doesn't cost you any money. And so if you like the show, feel free to use the Amazon banner on JackieCation.com or the Amazon link on DorkForest.com. If you want to directly support the show, you may PayPal support the show. There's a PayPal link. There's a PayPal button. Just donate some money, throw some cash over, and the Dork Forest, which is me, will be happy. And I will send you stickers if you want stickers. And you can do it monthly if you want, but I've not made that easy. You have to remember every month that you like the show. Hopefully that is not also not a chore if you're listening to it regularly. Other than that, let's see, stand-up comedy-wise. If this one goes up when it's supposed to go up, I will be back from the Joko Cruise, about to do live shows here in Los Angeles, headlining at Flappers in Burbank. If I miss out, I'm going to be in Spokane. I'm going to be in Spokane, Washington at their new comedy club. And then I'm going to be in Peoria at their comedy club. You can always go to JackieCation.com and get my full calendar. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. There's a Ranger of the Dork Forest fan page on Facebook, which is super fun. And other than that, this is the Dork Forest. I interview people about dorky stuff. And let's get into the show already. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm in my living room with Michael Palasek. He's friend of the show, but we've never been one-on-one. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And you're old school Harry Potter fan.
Yeah.
We've talked a little bit about it, but there's always been other people around.
You know what? I'm so old school. I remember reading it in high school, and then I looked at the date that it was published, and then I subtracted a couple years to when she probably wrote it, and I was like, I think Harry and I
are
the same age.
Dun, dun, dun.
We're like, our birthdays are like a month apart.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Some August 31st, June 31st.
June 26th.
June 26th.
It's my birthday.
All right.
Yeah.
I myself, bit of a Harry Potter fan, as I think it's been established. So you would be Harry Potter's age? Is that the deal?
So, and you haven't seen or read the play, so I won't tell anything. In the play, though, he's a little older than me.
Like,
he's
okay.
So I think she saw him as, she probably started it longer ago.
Yeah.
But like when it came, I think it was published in 92.
Yeah.
And I was 10 in 92.
And he was 11.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So
okay.
I felt like, and also.
Completely age appropriate.
I don't know if you do that, but me, I always, whenever I see something, I always find a way to be like, oh, that's me.
Right.
That's the world. It's being like, this is, I know everyone else pretends that their lives are going on, but it's really all about you. J.K. Rowling wrote this.
And weirdly enough, you lived under under steps.
I mean,
I one summer I spent under steps, and I was willing to do it because of Harry Potter.
I mean, if you were trying to abuse a child now, what would you do? Because they'd be so excited to be locked in a cupboard.
You know what? That was a genuine lie, because I spent the summer in the, I look back on it with nostalgia because of Harry Potter, but it was literally you weren't even born, probably.
It wasn't as fun.
No, it wasn't as fun because you weren't around. Yeah. And the world, of course,
had not begun.
Right. Hey, it's Michael Palasek, by the way. Yeah. M-I-C-H-A-E-L, like Michael.
Yep.
And P-A-L-A-S-C-A-K is how you spell your last name.
Yes.
And you have a new album that just came out. Mm-hmm. And it'll be 2 weeks out. As of now. Cool. So guys, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's
already the top of the charts.
Right. It's already been favorably reviewed, you guys. It's called That One Thing, and it's Michael Palasek, and he does stand-up comedy, and he's very, very funny. And, in a row, you guys, over and over for the entire time. It's a joke and then a laugh and then a joke. Yeah. One of my favorite ways to watch stand-up.
Ah, thanks.
So, and you're Michael Palasek on everything like Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
Except for Snapchat.
Yeah.
Where you are Michael Palasnap.
Yep. How could I not be Michael Palasnap?
How could you not? I wish I had done something.
I only had to change two letters.
I genuinely enjoy that.
I say that on stage at shows because I pitch stuff sometimes, like Twitter. Sure. And then I'm like, and I think it's just amazing. And people are just like, you're ridiculous.
Right. Whenever anyone thinks I'm lame, I'm like, yep, don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Don't worry about that portion of me that makes you go, no, she's not as cool as I thought she was.
When I first thought of it, I was like, this is my Dane Cook moment. This is my website when no one else said what.
Right, nobody.
Michael Palasek. It's going to blow up.
It's going to blow up. They're going to write like negative. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
okay, so I lived under a, steps, and every time someone walked up the steps, there would be a fine settling of silt on me, just like it is in the Harry Potter book.
Wow.
And it was in 89, I think.
Oh, and you were doing stand up.
And I was, well, no, I was drunk on Cape Cod, finding out that I wasn't gay.
Okay.
So I was in Provincetown, Massachusetts.
That's really, a lot of people probably have the opposite experience.
Right.
Under the stairs.
Under the stairs. Oh, no. Right. Well, oh, I never invited anyone home, air quotes. I was sharing a one bedroom apartment with four other people.
Oh, wow.
So there were the five of us. Yeah. And, luckily, that was, I guess, the year before they all shared an apartment, and one of them worked in the fish factory, which I was, thank you God, nobody worked in the fish factory.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she smelled like fish.
Because then you all work at the fish factory.
Yeah, we all work in the...
You might as well work there.
Might as well.
Get a paycheck for smelling like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And, but I do always think that the book is about me. I always try to relate, which is why when I don't like a book, I take it super personally.
Yeah. When there's something unrelatable about something, it's just hard.
Right. The book I'm reading right now is a self-published book I got as a gift. And the first 120 pages, I was like, boo. I kept reading it because a guy who gave it to me was a friend.
Yeah.
And, he loved it. No.
Okay.
He's an IT guy.
Okay.
And it's an IT book. It's a book about, my buddy Eric, gave it to me, and he's not an, I don't know what he is, offhand. I thought he was, but, it's called, Off to Be the Wizard. Off to Be the Wizard.
I literally listened. I'm on the third one.
Oh, you've read that?
Yeah, Scott Meyer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It's not self-published or?
Maybe it was, but a comedian, Andy Woodhull, told me about it, and it pops up on my Audible account all the time. So
and
I finally downloaded it.
It must have gone to Audible.
Yeah.
And I genuinely, I'm in like 140 of the first book, and at 130, I was like, oh, good. It's funny. It's smart. Because it's a great premise.
Yeah. I love the premise.
Right. And Off to Be the Wizard is the premise is that this guy, it's 2012, and he has found, that the world is indeed, a program.
The Matrix.
The Matrix.
Yeah.
And he found the code about his life. And so he made himself taller, but didn't die, thankfully. And then made himself the same height, and then changed things. And then the police came, and because he did the obvious thing that we would all do, I guess, and because we would abuse the power.
Yeah.
And then he goes back in time to hang out with a bunch of other nerds in the Middle Ages. From a book that said the best 20 years to live in the Middle Ages were 1140, is it? Something like that?
Yeah.
So he's hanging out with, I got to the, you know where I started liking it?
Yeah.
Is when they all got together to play Risk. Maybe Risk Legacy.
When they're like, hey, what do you want to do? And he's like, we can go to this place or this time or whatever. He's like, yeah, we're just going to play board games.
We're going to go to that cave and we're going to get Pizza Hut. And all the other wizards who also found their code have gone back to that same age.
It's funny you say that because like, when I think about not being able to relate to a book, that's like a very relatable moment. It's like we could go anywhere in time, but all I want to do is hang out with my friends.
Right.
And do the thing I always do.
Right. And so what I loved about that scene in the book, I was like, oh, good. He's not going to be some isolated nerd loner in his parents' basement.
Yeah.
He's going to have friends.
Yeah.
And, that's the going to be the best.
Yeah.
So now I'm in.
Yeah.
Now I'm in on the book. And so you've read, there's three of them?
So there's three right now. Scott Meyer. The first, I read the first one. The second one, there's there's Secret Service agent. They're not Secret Service, but they're like government officials. And those characters are a lot in the second one.
Yeah.
And they are so funny to me. Like one guy gets so mad all the time. And he's like, I think he's Irish in Boston. Or
yeah, a Boston. Yeah, you're Irish in Boston?
Yeah, I'm not Boston, but Irish Chicago.
Right.
And
close enough.
I love how that book is funny. Like I listen to it when I drive and I'm like, oh, this is funny.
Who reads it?
Yeah,
you don't know?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought you meant the guy? Like,
I didn't know the guy.
Just on Audible.
Yeah, just on Audible. Yeah. And then, so the second one that happens, and then I'm in the third one now, and it's different than the first two, but it's still funny.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's completely different journey, but it still ties back to the first one.
And that's fine. I mean,
it's a funny light book.
Yeah. And it also had a nice kind of energy to it. The bad guy, Todd, that was mentioned in the first book.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I don't approve of.
Yeah. There's more Todd.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. You can't introduce Todd into a plot. Didn't Chekhov say that?
Yeah. Yeah, Chekhov definitely said.
He said, don't introduce Todd into the plot and not use him.
And the idea is so smart that it just feels like it can go anywhere.
Right. Yeah. And it can go anywhere, but I was afraid that it was going to go somewhere lame, which is, again, the reason I don't write novels, because I'm like, oh, it's going to be lame. And I was like, you don't ever think that about a joke, Cajun. You tell any lame joke and you want, and then it turns
out. I do that, too.
There's a freedom.
When I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought.
No, please. I'm supposed to be interviewing you.
My first. Let me stop your model. I had like you do your first comedic like I did live at Gotham or whatever, and then and I had these jokes, and I was talking to my dad. I was like, I just don't think I can write jokes that are this funny anymore. And my dad, who's never done stand up ever, but he understands things. That in a way that I don't, maybe that's just what dads do.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, maybe Michael, you need to write jokes that aren't as good as those.
Right.
Maybe that's sweet. And then maybe one of those will turn into that. And I was like, you're an accountant. How do you know creative stuff?
What he just did is he blew your mind, man. He opened a door. He opened a window.
Yeah.
And there was a screen on it.
Yeah.
And so there were no bugs.
Yeah.
So, it gives you a freedom to be lame.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be lame.
Exactly.
It's going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
You're just, and that's what I should do with the damn novel is if I want to write a novel, I should just write it.
Yeah.
But I was psyched when it turned out that it's fun. So,
yeah.
But I'll show you, because what I found is the self-published books have a different, the covers are, have a different feel to them.
Yeah, they're a little different. And I think it's changed now. I think when I was, like in my early college days, they said that self-publishing wasn't a good idea because but now I think it's like, it's a way to.
It's completely respectable now, I think, which is neat.
Yeah.
Because, again, gatekeepers.
Screw
those people.
Yeah.
Just find out if anyone does like your book.
Another book that's a TV show now that you probably read. Have you read The Magicians?
Oh, no, I tried it.
Oh, you didn't?
It didn't take.
Yeah.
Turns out Eric didn't give it to me, so I didn't stick it out. maybe Eric Spur needs to give me more books that I should finish.
But the reason
is it great?
Well, so.
Who wrote The Magicians?
Lev Grossman.
Okay.
And the reason I bring him up. Because of what we were talking about. Well, first off, there's three books of that one too. And I just love getting lost in worlds. And it's a very dark world.
Okay.
Like they say it was like he took a Harry Potter genre and made it for adults.
That's right. That's why I didn't like it.
Yeah.
That's
I didn't like necessarily how dark it got sometimes. But the thing I heard
because it was like 700 pages too, right?
Yeah. I listened to those too. They kept me awake.
Those will help.
Yeah.
Those will help if you're on the road. Yeah. Longer books. Yeah.
Yeah. So Lev said in an interview, because he was a book reviewer for like New York something.
Oh, nice.
Wherever people were. And so he had a family and he didn't have all the time to just sit down in a cabin and write. And he was just like, I would write whenever, like, when do you write? And they're like, whenever I have 5 minutes, I write for five, whenever I have a chance. And it was really inspiring to me as a comedian to be like, oh, I don't need to schedule this and sit in a place and watch TV, or like, I can just be like, oh, I have 2 seconds. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And when I read his book, I think it's good, but I also see that. I'm like, oh yeah, he came up with it. And then it's,
he clearly,
yeah,
he clearly might've wanted to at least go to a cabin for a weekend and take a line veto pen to it. That's my whole thing about J.K. Rowling. And I've said it 1,000 times before, is that nobody was editing her at the end of those books, and hence 200 pages of camping.
You know what though? I never had a problem with it.
I didn't care.
I loved every second of it.
Right. Cause I wanted to be in that world. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I could be I'm obviously completely wrong because I don't know her or her life or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the first book she had to get published or whatever.
Yeah.
And then each one got a little longer. And I think she probably knew as an art, maybe she knew as an artist that like people are going to want to have be in this longer.
Right.
And I'm only going to do seven of these,
books.
So I'm going to make sure that they get that.
That they get all this backstory and all this. Yeah. I mean, some people give her guff too about sort of giving insight into, you know, Dumbledore being gay and other things. You're like, no, more glimpses into how the world you picture that, because it's her world.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying it's not, yes, it's derivative. Yes, it's everybody else has some world, something like that. But
oh, her world is derivative of other worlds.
Of other worlds. But
what I think is special about her world is that it's funny. So it makes me feel less derivative. It doesn't seem as derivative because it's like, oh, no, she's taking that. That's called something and something else, but now it's in this one. And it seems like it comes alive.
It's like everybody's life is different, you know? I mean, you could be raised in the same family and have just a funnier version of your childhood.
Yeah.
And so her version of, let's say it's Tolkien's world, you know? Or it's whatever, it's Anne McCaffrey's world.
It goes back to mythological creatures from long ago. Like, no one owned those.
Right. No one owns those. Yeah. And so, and I love what you just said though, because it frees it up so much because it's her world is more optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
It's funnier and sweeter than, you know, I mean, Tolkien's world is super noble. You know, it has a lot of nobility to it, and it has a lot of, like, there's a snare drum somewhere. And, you know, her stuff has more of a slide roll to it, Arthur Dent, which is Hitchhiker's, but who was Ron Weasley's dad?
Arthur Weasley?
That is Arthur Weasley. Thanks for playing. So Arthur Weasley's, Arthur Weasley's love of muggle.
Mm-hmm.
Artifacts is a delight.
People love my girlfriend just read Harry Potter for the first time. I gave her one last May and she finished them all by the end of July. She just read all the books.
Right.
And that was like the first thing she said. She's like, I love it how he loves Muggles. Human things. Yeah. That's such a relatable thing.
And her books are so full of tolerance
and
just acceptance and more of an ability to it's they're you know, I'm sure it's snowflakey and inclusionary and all these things, but there's a sweetness to it and a humanity that accepts people that I think encourages children to do that.
And
adults.
But. Fundamentally, and I thought it was like, it was subconscious because no one ever told me it, but I was taking a writing class and our teacher broke it down how like pretty much, well, there are a couple of things. First off, like every book, like it was a battle between love and fear and how love is the strongest.
Oh, right.
From the page one, love wins.
Yeah.
And everyone wants to be afraid, but love wins. And then the other thing that she did that I heard some other critic write was that every character in that book does something wrong. Like, everyone is imperfect. Like, even Harry uses an unforgivable curse. Like, there's nobody who's good.
Who doesn't make a giant mistake
once. It's not even like a flaw. They're, like, he could convince Azkaban for trying to do that on Snape or whatever, even though he's a back. Like, And I thought at the time when I was reading it, I had a problem with that because I had only read books where everybody was all good or all bad.
Right.
Or even if they were kind of in between, it was kind of like weird or funny, but it was like every character had good and bad stuff. And it was just like, how does she do that?
Right.
How does she put all of that in there?
She like, it's essentially, it's like she found the flaws of humanity and was like, everybody makes a serious error probably once.
Yep.
And you have to figure out how to forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
Or not.
Yeah.
You have to figure out how to move on yourself from making that giant error.
Yeah.
Or not.
Yeah.
And she encourages moving on.
And also the people that were like Voldemort and all those, even the times where they came up as a little relatable, their actions were never like, you never understood. Like when I watch Breaking Bad, I'm like, well, I get why they're killing that guy. When I watch Harry Potter, I'm like, no, they're still choosing to do something wrong. Right. Like, that's still bad. Like, right. They're not convincing.
They're giving in to the anger.
Yeah.
They're giving in to the fear.
Yeah.
And there's something really human about that.
Yeah.
The fact that she's like, no, yeah, yeah. Sometimes you mistakenly give in to the fear and the anger and the rage. Mm-hmm. I had a bad moment myself a couple of weeks ago, where, by the way, my album, I'm Not the Hero of You. I'm Not the Hero of This Story. I'm Not the Hero of This Story. Yeah. I pushed an old man.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't push him down.
Okay.
But I pushed an 80-year-old man.
Oh, no.
Guy had to be 80.
Oh, no.
I was at the grocery store. I don't know why I'm telling. Hi. It's because J.K. Rowling is inspirational. And that genuinely freaking moved me. Man. Get this. Laurie Kilmartin just read the first Harry Potter book to her son. And now they're going to read like a different series.
No. No.
Exactly.
No. Call child services. No.
I was like, you can't start something else. Just read Chamber.
Yeah.
Just read Chamber.
Does her kid not like it?
I don't know why. But I think she's like, well, I'm not going to read all seven in a row. And I was like, why wouldn't you read
that? Seems like the best.
That's
I would have a child just so I could.
Right. And he's 10.
Yeah.
And he, both of his parents are comics. So it's not like he doesn't know dark.
Yeah.
Azkaban's going to be fine on
him. And like it progresses every book. It's a little darker. There's a great Simpsons episode that came out that ruined the books for some people because I think it came out before 7 and it was about 6. Or maybe the movies were like that.
Right.
Where Homer just starts reading one and, where I think Maggie just falls asleep and he just reads them all. And like they show one of the things that happened and it's like a parody of Harry Potter. It's just
right,
like,
right.
I was like, yeah.
Bit of a spoiler.
Lori's better than Homer.
Yeah. Lori should, I mean, and I, it was, what was it? I think one of the last episodes of Jackie and Lori, just me and Kyle just looking at her in shock going, what's happening?
Yeah.
And then after the show, Kyle was like, okay, here's another book that you should get your boy to read. And here's another book. And it was too funny.
Yeah.
So, I will tell you what happened. I mean, I don't want to leave the world. What happened was, is I was at the grocery store.
Yeah. What kind of grocery store?
It was a Ralph's.
Okay.
Usually a regular grocery store. Yeah. And it was 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. There can be some like shady, violent things going on.
Well, it was a bad thing that, and I gave into it and it was a bad idea. And so there are a million ways to deal with this.
Yeah.
I have since talked to several people about other choices I could have made. And so I go to the grocery store. I'm walking out of the grocery store. There's an old man. Mm-hmm. He is not a homeless old man. He is not a crazy old man. He's a guy wearing essentially khakis, a belt, a polo shirt, carrying a loaf of French bread.
Yeah.
And Oh, I remember exactly.
Was it like one of those that's not even wrapped? It's just in like a paper bag?
It was a cellophane.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know how to judge that guy.
A classy old man.
Just a kind of a classy, weird old man who started screaming at the rent-a-cop dude.
Oh.
And he said the N-word.
Oh, no.
And he said that the guy was from Haiti and he screwed monkeys and that's why there was AIDS. And 10 years ago, I would have just been like, what the hell is your problem?
Yeah.
And I would have said something to the Haitian guy, which, by the way, was the correct way to deal with that, even today in our crazy ass world. Instead, I wanted to be White Lady Meat Shield, and I got in his face, and I was like, what the fuck is your problem?
Yeah.
You're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
This is what that guy's at work. What are you doing?
Yeah.
He gets to be here too. And the guy, and the old guy said to me, it's none of your business. I don't know why you're meddling in this. It doesn't have anything to do with you. And I said, it has everything to do with me because this is America.
Yeah.
And he said, pa, America. He went, puh, America.
Yeah.
And I pushed him. No, not the hero of that story. No. Not okay to push.
I think you were fine until the push. Like Dr. King would have been fine with that until the push.
Until the push, I was fine.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't change his, none of it changed his mind.
Yeah.
Me kicking him to death wouldn't have changed his mind.
No.
But I was so full of rage that I was just lit up and it was, I'm ashamed of it and I'm not happy that I did it, but there's part of me that's like, you know, if you tell people that you did it, maybe other people will learn from it
and not do it.
And not do it. Yeah. And what I should have done was gone. And he, by the way, the rent-a-cop guy laughed in that old man's face, which, of course, is super sad because that means that that rent-a-cop guy deals with that at least once a day.
Yeah.
And but he was like, whatever, old man. Yeah. And I was like, oh, right.
Yeah.
So – whatever. Yeah. But yeah. So now we can. I will give you 4 more minutes because I had to.
I feel
some
like
reason.
I have to share something bad.
Do you want to open a vein? You want to turn this into Marin?
I mean, not really. It did relate a little bit to a story, but I was a kid, so it's way different.
Oh, right. Because you were a child.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wanted to watch, like growing up, we didn't have a lot of TVs.
Yeah.
We had like one TV. Crappy TV and then one TV that was good. That
okay.
Worked. Like the other TV, I think we just played Nintendo.
Wow, that's a whole different, that's a different definition of, but that makes sense because when you were a kid, that would have been sort of we're not going to overdo this, a TV in every room. And
There was like a playroom TV that we could play the video games on and then the one that everyone watched stuff on, which still is like not a nice TV. It was like, whatever.
Just normal.
And we grew up in Indiana and I wanted to watch the Notre Dame football game, but my younger brother got there first. And he wasn't watching that.
Yep.
And we all rooted for Notre Dame, but he was just being like a little annoying brother. He was like, no, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I got parental. I was like, we're watching. And my dad's like, oh, whatever. And then like, I was like, okay, I had accepted the fact that he wasn't going to, I was going to maybe try to watch it in the crappy TV room.
Yeah.
But then he was like, I don't like Notre Dame. And then I tackled him for no reason. And then my dad was like, no, you don't have to like teams in this household. You can like whoever you want.
Oh, my God. Your dad sounds like the best dad, by the way. Yeah. But that's just, that's a brotherly.
Yeah. No, so, it was like a brotherly.
You clearly still feel bad about it. You're just because you overreact.
There are, I've overreacted worse and worse ways, I'm sure. But that was just the one where I was like, oh, he said something that pushed me over the edge.
Right.
There's been times where I just went over the edge without needing that. That relates well to your story.
In retail situations, that's where I like to lose it. No, you're good. Really for the best. Michael Palasek, you guys, is a good person. And I'm working on it. So, by the way, I should tell people about your album again. Because it's called That One Thing. Mm-hmm. And it's on Rooftop, right? Rooftop?
Yep. Rooftop, it's you can buy the actual physical. There's on links on my website at michaelpalasek.com to the actual CD and downloads.
Right. So do it however you like.
Yeah.
And super fun. I can't wait to hear it, actually.
Thanks.
And so we're in – so in each book, I mean, that's just – I mean, I don't know if we want to keep talking Harry Potter.
Yeah, I love it. Whatever.
Yeah. But I would have to come up with – my. It's like my favorite – one of my favorite scenes is in that first book when the Sorcerer's Stone or the Philosopher's Stone has been destroyed and Dumbledore's talking to Harry Potter and Harry says – it means that your friend Nicholas Flamel is going to die.
Yeah.
And Dumbledore, he reveals that death is, you remember the quote?
I don't remember the quote. I remember
death is the next great adventure.
Yeah.
And now you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's so, it's just like, it's fine.
That's another thing that she did that was amazing. It took death and it was like, it didn't make you afraid of it. It was like, that's something that happens.
All through it, too.
Yeah, not everybody dies in every book, but it's definitely
touched
on everybody. There's
ghosts all over the place. Yeah. And the pictures that, like, when anyone dies.
Yeah.
I just gave it away. Sorry, guys. I mean, it is a 30-year-old book. I'm so sorry. When anybody dies, they go into their photo or their painting.
Yeah.
And you wonder... I wish I knew the characteristics of what's left in that. Like, what's the personality?
That's my question. I have another thing, too, about my favorite scene. But before that, when people take a picture, they're in that picture, right? But when they die, they're more in that picture?
Right. Oh, right, because there's photographs that are animated.
Those are just animated photographs. But
the paintings.
The headmasters actually get to, like, talk with you.
Right, they're like stuff. Part of the
they're
solution.
They're like special
in the at Hogwarts.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe it's like if you're painted, then you can go.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's I never thought about the difference between the pictures just being animated and actual. Because like Harry never got to talk to his parents outside of when they became those quick moments or whatever.
When
the fourth one is that when they all came out. when their wands connected.
I think, was that the one, I think it was with Patronuses, wasn't it? Or,
well, he saw the Patronuses, but he thought he saw his dad, but it was himself.
Right.
And the third one.
Oh, wait, no.
But I think the fourth one, they took out all the spells come out of Voldemort's wand. And
that's right.
And I don't know if his mom says anything to him, but I think that's the only time.
She did. Yeah. She said, you're only going to have a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
It was when Cedric Diggory.
Yeah.
It was the cup one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the one when he actually gets to talk to his...
I think that's the only time
he ever gets to talk to them.
Yeah.
Which makes you wonder what just... J.K. Rowling, if you could somehow tell us, how do you get to be a painting?
Yeah.
You know? Because it's not like anyone... Nobody sat for those paintings of the people that we know, right?
Well, they were headmasters, so maybe there was a sitting.
A sitting of some
it
sort?
It seems like the main... Well, not... Because there's a fat lady.
Right. And, well, there... You know, there's all those... The fat lady, and then there's the cowardly... Mm-hmm. The cowardly dude who runs away from things.
It's like, challenges everybody. And then,
right. Those are just paintings in the
house. Yeah, there's old paintings.
In Hogwarts. But the... And they give you information.
Yep.
And they're gossipers.
And they do stuff.
And they do stuff. Yeah. And they run from painting to painting.
Yeah.
but I do wonder how...
How you become a painting.
Yeah, how you become a painting and why everyone wouldn't want to be a painting of their parents.
Yeah.
Because so that you could still talk to your parents after they were gone. How great would that be?
Yeah.
Yeah, just a chat. I mean, granted, there has to be a limitation, right?
It has
to,
I think it probably, maybe there was, what if we're bringing up something? I mean, she had to have thought about it.
Right.
Or
she's
like, you guys are thinking about this way too much.
Completely. Or how great would it be if she's like, oh, I never thought
of that.
I got
to write a book about that.
I will write a book about that. And you're like, yes, please.
I bet it had, just going off of Hogwarts being really old, and that's the main place where we see paintings that talk. Or, and the Black House, too, I think maybe they talk. Because there's the one that gets upset.
Oh, right. The house of the secret society.
Yeah. So I think factually we have that they're old places.
Yep.
And they're people of power.
Right.
Oh. And we haven't seen any current people.
Right. Because
that are headmasters.
The Slytherin headmaster is in the house when they're on the run.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he could pop from that painting to the other painting in a different house.
Yeah.
My mind was just expanded a little bit.
I got to reread seven books now.
Now I have to dash off. And do you like the Jim Dale ones or?
Yeah, so that's the only thing I ever experienced. My experience was like I read the first two as books, and then when I was driving to work in the summer, I worked about a half hour away from. I would just listen to them, and it made every drive so happy. So it was Jim Dale, and I remember people I worked with. I was like kind of the young person working there, and they would find out, and they're like, "Oh, do they do the voices?" And I would like give them to them.
Do.
Like, this is really good. Like, and then my dad would listen to the tapes after I bought that. Like, these were like tapes.
And
my tape player didn't work in my old car, so I had like a boombox, and I would press it, and it wouldn't play that loud. So it was summer, but I would have the windows up because I wanted to hear it. And I remember there was a moment in the third one where Harry almost gets his soul sucked out of his body, where I swerved off the road a little bit,
right?
And I was like, this could be a problem. I can't.
If Harry doesn't live, I'm really.
I gotta not get pulled over because I'm listening to Harry Potter too intensely.
Too intense. Andy has a hard time listening to books on tape because he gets super invested.
Yeah.
But I loved him. I remember I was listening because we had all the tapes for the Harry Potter books, and I'd read them, like a half a dozen times.
Yeah.
But then to hear Jim Dale do all the voices is great.
Yeah.
I hear the British version, and it's. Stephen, I can't remember who reads the, but it's a different British, a famous British actor.
Yeah.
It turns out I got to meet Jim Dale one time, by the way, totally in passing, happened to be in New York and with my friend from college and we walked by a live, Today Show thing.
Yeah.
And they said, Jim Dale is there.
Well,
and we looked at each other and she owns a toy store on the Upper West Side and is a huge Harry Potter fan. Plus he used to do a lot of Broadway.
Oh, okay.
And so I think musicals even.
Yeah.
But she was like, let's see if we can go hear him speak.
Yeah.
And so we dashed over and we actually got to shake hands with him. And he was much more interested, by the way, in that she had seen him on Broadway than his audiobook career. I was like, come on, man. But I had all the tapes.
Yeah.
And then I remember when I went I've driven from Minneapolis when I first moved out here.
Yeah.
And one of the things my brother gave me was the tapes of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Unabridged.
Oh.
And the songs.
Yeah.
Almost put me to sleep. on the mountains.
I tried to listen to Lord of the Rings. That's how I was going to read them.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I got through the first one half of it, and you can't.
They're mesmerizing.
Yeah.
It's iambic pentameter. I don't know what it is, what you're doing over there, Tolkien, but it is very beautiful, and there's no way to skip the poems. And the first time you read Lord of the Rings, I know this is blasphemy, I think you should skip the poems, just because you want to get to the story, you know? You're going to reread it,
and
when you're jonesing for more info, you will read the poems, because those are their own stories, right?
Yeah.
And I am sorry, though, that you never did get to listen to the whole Lord of the Rings. So, did you ever try to read it?
So, I loved the one that was just a movie, the prequel.
Hobbit.
Yeah. I read The Hobbit, and then I read the first one, and then I listened to the first one and the second one, and then I never got to the third one, but I watched the movies, and I haven't gone back. I should go back.
So, you listened to the first two Lord of the Rings?
Fellowship of the Rings
and Two Towers?
And the Two Towers. I think I got through most of Two Towers. And then the third movie was my favorite one. I haven't read the book yet.
Right. The third movie of Return of the King?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a different ending in the book. You're gonna wanna get the book. It's not a different ending. It's essentially the real ending. Like it ends. Like Lord of the Rings, they get the eagles come.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good times are had.
Yeah.
Ring is destroyed.
Yeah.
they go back to the Shire.
Yeah.
And there's a whole Shire ending.
Oh.
Which is amazing.
Okay.
And it's a great Hobbity ending too. Because my favorite thing about the Lord of the Rings are the hobbits.
Yeah.
And
because they're us.
They're us.
Yeah.
We're the hobbits.
Yeah.
And we're the tiny, powerless, but with some mad skills. We got our own tiny skills.
Yeah.
And we can be brave.
Yeah. In a stupid way.
In a stupid way. And in loyalty. We got loyalty. Mm-hmm. We got good times. So I would recommend reading Return of the King.
I gotta do that.
And Return of the King doesn't have any songs in it. There might be some after the ring is destroyed, but it's mostly action.
Real quick before I forget, I want to
your favorite Harry Potter scene.
I don't know if it's my favorite Harry Potter scene, but it's one that's really memorable to me.
Yeah,
I think it's in the first book. It's either the first or second one, and it's when they're on Christmas break.
Yeah,
and it's just him having a snowball fight with Ron Weasley and his brothers, and that's all it is. And they're just happy. And I remember reading that, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can just be happy.
Right. It's just a nice day.
Yeah.
It's just a fun day where he has sort of he's made his own family kind of day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he's with the Weasley boys.
Yeah.
And they're having the snowball fight.
And there's like not a lot of scenes in all those books, but when they happen, I'm like, oh, that's.
Yeah. Another one of my favorite lines is when, him and Ron aren't friends anymore. Right.
Yeah.
And so he's hanging out with Hermione a lot. Yeah. And at one point he says, you know, when you're best friends with Hermione Granger, you spend a lot of time at the library.
Yeah.
I'm sure his grades did not suffer because of it. But he was
great.
Like, when being best friends with Ron Weasley, there's a lot more laughter. There's a lot more just yucking it up because Ron Weasley is Ron Weasley.
Yeah.
And there's some great. I've actually decided that my favorite of the movies is the first one.
Really?
Yeah.
I've watched the first one probably the most, and I like it a lot, but I have to say, going to the movies to see it, the second, seventh one, because it's in the middle of the book, just picks up, and you're in it.
Yeah.
And I love that.
The second, seventh one?
Yeah.
The very last one just picks up,
and you're gone. And I think the first
they
one-
They stop trying to do any sort of- Like the first ones, they try to, you know, make sure it's inclusive. Oh, you didn't read the books. Oh, you didn't read the books.
No.
By the second, seventh one,
they just like went with the guy from Gringotts and they're like on a beach or something. They're like, it's like after Empire Strikes Back, like things are messed up.
Right.
And you're just like, why can't everyone start like this? Well, because it's not the middle of a movie.
Right. It's not the middle of the book.
And then you get to see. Yeah, you just get to see all of it.
Now I need to rewatch that. I watched the first three because I was supposed to do a podcast about just the first three movies.
Yeah.
And then it got delayed for some reason. Uh-huh. And so they tricked me into enjoying those first three movies.
You know
again.
What? Also, the fourth one I feel like is the so visual with like the dragon and all the different quest stuff type stuff. I think that one was like.
A good one.
Really cool to watch. When I see it, that one seems to be on TV more.
Yeah, that was. I remember they showed them back to back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
But I had to go do a set. So I think I like piped in on one and then I saw four and then I saw six.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
But I will say what I love about the first movie is that, like, that chess scene was my favorite scene, I think.
Yeah.
And I also like the first book a lot because Ron gets to be smart.
Yeah.
He gets to be kind of the hero in that one, too.
Yeah.
Where you're like, because she didn't use Ron's strategy skills as much in the later books.
Yeah, he kind of became a little, and this might be too weird to reference, Corey from Boy Meets World in the later seasons. Like, oh, he's not the main character. He's a funny, weird guy.
Yeah, he's a funny, weird guy and more sidekicky, which is why I think he became angry.
Yeah.
but he does get the girl in the end, so it's all good.
But about that movie, that's a different ending in the movie than the book. Just in those scenes, like, there's an extra, I think, thing that Hermione has to figure out in the book.
Right, that they don't...
They kind of skip over it.
Right, they skip over that, and it's... You know, it's a little Lego movie where Hermione is clearly the smartest and most qualified hero of the trio.
Yeah.
But she's like, it's like Meryl Marco giving all of her best jokes to Letterman. And she's like, no, I love you. Here, have all my funny stuff.
Yeah.
And
that's interesting.
It's a weird, you know, you notice it and you go, well, it's fine.
Yeah, I guess I didn't notice it just because. Maybe I think if I was a woman, I might notice it stronger.
Right. You might. I mean, just because you'd be like, oh, well, I guess she's just going to be his helper.
Well, and I think I always wrote it off as like the prophecy thing of like, oh, Harry just does have to meet.
Right. Well, and the Lego movie, for some reason, and in the end of it, they do fix it where everyone's the chosen one, right? Yeah. Everyone's the special.
Well, actually, I'm like a half hour from finishing the Lego movie.
What?
So,
oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
I've seen Lego Batman, so I tried it. It was on... I love
I want to see Lego Batman with the power of the
Lego
sun,
Lego Batman. I relate to that Batman more than any other Batman.
Right. It looks like the best Batman movie. Yeah. I just did a movie fight podcast because of my new album. And you had to pick your best Batman, your favorite Batman, and somebody else picked the... And I hadn't seen the Lego Batman. Yeah. So Grey Drake... You remember Grey Drake? I don't know if you...
No, I don't know Grey Drake.
Well, the crazy thing about Grey Drake is she used to have a movie podcast 10, 12 years ago.
Oh.
Not that long because of podcasting.
Yeah.
But it was a long time ago. It was probably 9 years ago where with Gary Anna Abeda, and they just talked about movies.
Yeah.
And Gary Anna Abeda is a projectionist. She's in the projectionist union. And so, I mean, LA's full of crazy people, right? And Grey Drake... They have this movie podcast and they stopped doing it. And I hadn't seen Gray in like 5 or 6 years. And now she's one of the senior editors at Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, wow.
Which is the perfect gig if you love movies.
Yeah.
And her favorite Batman movie was Lego Batman.
Wow.
So I had to pick my second, I hadn't seen Lego, so I assumed it would be my favorite.
Yeah.
But I picked Batman 89 because it was the one that I know the most about.
Oh, the very first one?
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, Michael Keaton. I love Michael Keaton. I wasn't allowed to watch it when I was little, so I kind of...
Because it was
kind
of creepy.
It was like dark, and I mean, I was a kid, little kid.
You were so young.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. It came out in 89, so yeah. But the... Because they kept calling it Batman 89. And I did like the first Nolan Batman.
I love everything Christopher Nolan has done. I mean, I mean...
But Lego Batman, I think, really sums up why I didn't even see the third Nolan Batman. Because I was like, oh my God.
I like the third one, but I think it's not his fault that Heath Ledger died. Like,
no.
What do you do? Like, obviously, the third one was different.
Right.
Before that happened.
But the thing about Heath Ledger is I thought he did a great job as the Joker, but I don't want my Batman that dark.
Yeah.
I want my Batman slightly lighter.
Yeah.
I want there to be some J.K. Rowling in my Batman, right?
Well, then I can see, why 89 would be your favorite.
Yeah.
Or the first Batman Begins.
Yeah.
Because I think I was at a dark point in my life. Not like emotionally or career-wise, but I remember when the second one came out, also like, it was kind of a Breaking Bad thing of like, I can see... Not like I can see why the Joker does that, but I like him.
Right.
I like Walter White.
Right.
What's going on?
Right. You're like, I need to re-examine my own life choices.
Yeah. And it's hard because they do horrible things. And I think there was part of that was new to me.
Yeah.
That I appreciated.
Yeah, that's interesting because but the first Lego movie is a wonderful movie.
Yeah.
And I heard that Batman Lego is actually kind of a great kind of sequel to the Batman movie.
I've only seen the first half of Lego movie, but it's a great first half. And
it's a pretty, yeah.
Lego Batman, it's really funny. I love how funny. Like when I see movies like that, I'm like, oh, as a comic, if someone were to want me to like help out with a screenplay, I hope it would turn like that.
Like that. Because I heard it was super dense with jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like really well done.
It was kind of like their timing of it was really good. like, not compared to Family Guy at all, but they weren't afraid to give things time just for the fact of it being funny.
Well, and it's is it stop action or is it animated?
So I looked it up. I don't know if I know the original Lego movie was like this, and I think this one was too. They did as much real stuff as they could, but they also used CGI to make it. So it's kind of like they made it look like you were just watching CGI, which is just like, well, how did you? It's like you're playing with your Legos.
Yeah, I know. It's so, but you got to finish the Lego movie because it's got an awesome twist at the end.
Yeah.
It's and it's neat. It's and I thought super smart and funny.
Yeah.
But it is funny that because she is clearly a master builder and he is not.
That's a great idea though. How we already are what we thought we were or whatever. Like,
yes.
Where we wanted to be or who we're looking for. We already are.
Right.
Yeah.
So, there's, but I do find myself with more favorite lines and favorite scenes in the early Harry Potter books than in the later ones. And I think it's because in the later ones, everyone is revealed as human.
Yep.
Everyone is revealed as flawed.
Yeah. And we don't want them. Like, I didn't want Harry to use an unspeakable curse. Like, mm-mm. I'm Harry. I can't go to Ask Command or whatever.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
Yeah. And then like the people that Harry looks up to aren't good people.
Right,
they're
flawed.
Breaking rules.
Yep.
And like not even like rules that we can believe in, like real rules. There's like some legit, what are you doing?
Right. Why would you?
Yeah.
That is not the correct choice.
Yeah.
You have to be stronger than that
because
you are my fictional hero.
Yeah.
And which, I mean, the thing is it does give you some empathy for your real parents, for your real leaders, for your real role models in life. So,
yes. And you give yourself a break. That's what I love about the most.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well.
I guess.
Yeah, I guess I.
I guess if, you know, if Dumbledore is going to be like this, I guess I too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I'm trying to think if there's anything comparable in some of the other books I've read. Like, are there other flawed heroes? And
well, I mean, the Bible.
There's the Bible.
I mean, Jesus is like, Jesus doesn't want to go.
He's just sitting there drawing on the dirt, and then they're
he
stoning
turns over
that
a
woman.
Bunch of tables. Like,
right, he got mad.
Yeah.
But then he speaks up for that woman being stoned to death. So good for her.
Yeah.
Good for him. He's just like, why don't you cast the first stone if
stoned to death is a lot to hear as a kid.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, I don't even can't imagine stones that. And then it's like, what? I have to.
Someone's really whipping. It's like, remember when someone would put a rock in the middle of a snowball? You knew that was a bad person.
Yeah.
You're like, that. You're horrible.
Yeah.
Why? It's like, I remember trying to think, is it just better? Are you getting a better heft on it? Are you like accuracy increases? I remember trying to figure out why someone would do it. There's no reason to do it except to be a jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why I was trying to
need
justify
to hang out with nicer people.
Right, exactly. What am I? What was I thinking as a child? And so let's talk about the book that you like.
Oh yeah. So the newest book that I've read recently that I really like is Skippy Dies.
Skippy Dies
by Paul Murray.
Okay.
And after I reading it, like I listened to it on Audible, which is a great way to do it because it's really funny. But I love accents when I listen. It's like it's Irish. It's about an Irish boarding school, and it starts off. The first scene is Skippy dies in a donut shop, and it's funny.
Right.
And then the rest of the book is kind of this tragic comedy. Leading up to that moment,
to
and you're
death?
Like, oh, and then you feel bad about laughing in the beginning, kind of. And it's so beautiful. It's similar to what I felt like when I was reading Harry Potter, in the sense that like he's doing stuff in that book that I can't understand how he did it. Like, it's so thought out. Every step is like something that I'm like, oh. And then I went back and re-listened to it, and I'm like, there's stuff in page one. It's like a 600 page book that got called back in the end, where it's just like, oh,
what? Nice
and
book ending.
I just felt so much, and the same thing of like these horrible people that you really relate to, that they're not horrible, they're just misunderstood or whatever.
Right.
And there's so many reveals, and like, I was a high school boy, so I understand some of it. And like, it also touches on like kids and like the drugs they're taking and social networking. And
when was it? Is it new?
2010 is when it came out.
Okay, 2010.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And also touches, it's an Irish Catholic boarding school, so it touches on those issues also. And you're like, really? Can they do it in a way that no one, like, that we haven't heard? And it's like, no, they did it.
Did you go to?
I never went away to a boarding school.
Yeah, me neither.
But I went to.
You and your second shitty TV. I can't imagine you dashing
off.
Yeah,
we weren't sent to Dead Poets Society.
You're right. It wasn't wasn't that kind of upbringing.
My mom didn't like us leaving to just stay at our friends' houses, so we were going to be in bed.
Oh,
in the same
that's
place.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's very sweet.
So that, Paul Murray, Skippy Dies. And then he wrote a new one that I just read too called, Something about the mark, which is also very good. But Skippy Dies is the one you want to read.
Okay.
The first one.
Well, you know, when you first described it to me and I looked it up and I was like, wasn't he in a donut eating contest or something?
Yeah.
Because I haven't read this yet, obviously, yeah. Skippy Dies. But did you ever see Stand By Me?
Yes.
So remember when the Will Wheaton character is telling the story around the campfire about the
pies?
The pies?
Yeah.
I was like, that's my least favorite scene in that movie, just because I don't like gross out scenes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was good revenge.
Yeah.
Of Lardass or whatever they called him in Stand By Me.
Yeah. And I remember that. I also remember being repulsed by that scene, so maybe you're supposed to.
Right.
The difference in this beginning of Skippy Dies is that the way it's described is a really funny, this is what they're going to do.
Yeah.
They do a donut. They're like high school boys, so they can eat all that stuff. And they're like, one of them's a swimmer, so they eat lots of stuff. It's beautiful. Like it was one of those where I was like driving and like, am I crying while I'm driving?
Oh my God. I have cried, silent tears as I'm listening to I just finished a Piers Anthony book.
Okay.
Which, it's called Split Infinity.
Okay.
And I am on my brother's Audible account. So it turns out he didn't like that book, so he didn't buy the additional 5 books that go in that series. But I'm kind of okay with that because the Split Infinity book is kind of – it's a fascinating premise. They did a really good job on the premise, and it is because it's – and it was written, I think, in 81.
Okay.
And it is half science fiction and half sword and sorcery fantasy book.
I love it.
It's about a jockey. He is a jockey on this science fiction world called Proton.
Okay.
And everyone lives for the game, right? As you're he's an indentured serf, and there's rich people that are citizens, and he works for them, and you kind of want to stay on Proton because everything's paid for and it's great, and you can take any classes you want.
Yeah.
And so it's a pretty great life.
Yeah.
But it's such a book that was clearly written by a horndog 45-year-old dude because everybody's nude.
Oh.
And this guy keeps getting laid. And it was literally written for like a 12 to 14-year-old boy child. And luckily there is inside me a 12 to 14-year-old boy child. So, because I was like, well, I hope he gets some ass. And he does. Spoiler alert. So he has, but the thing is like in the science fiction world, there's trouble with that girl. So, he goes through this curtain and he's on the exact same planet, but it's an Eden, right?
Yeah.
And so he meets a unicorn.
Ooh.
And quite honestly, it's really cool. It's a cool book, but she too is a very nude lady. And they do it, you guys. Spoiler alert, they do it. So he's back and forth, and he can go back and forth between the two women. And then, of course, at the end of this book, he meets yet a third lady. And it turns out she ends up nude, you guys. No. So the following four or five books, I'm sure, and it's there's this kind of hacky, there's a little bit of that hacky joke of bitches, man, and which it's not that he doesn't love women and he isn't in favor of feminism or empowerment and he clearly loves strong women, he clearly does, but when they get
unicorns are not weak.
No,
they're a strong animal.
No, they're a strong animal. And the woman in the sci-fi thing is his bodyguard.
Oh.
Is his protector.
Yeah.
So he likes strong women.
Yeah.
But whenever anything happens, he's like, women, man, what are you gonna do?
Well, that's kind of like a love is hard type of thing.
I wish
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt.
No, and the thing is I'd want to.
Yeah.
So I like that. It's sort of a better way to write it from, you know, because if you write it from love is hard, women are crazy, but women are crazy because people are crazy, and men are crazy because people are crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just love is hard.
Yeah.
And the way, you know, women are from Venus, from Mars, you guys. And, but so it's just a it's not bad. Mm-hmm. It's just a pre-awakened kind of moment where you're like, oh, I see what's happening. And I didn't want to. So, but Phil doesn't like unicorns, my brother. So he's like, I don't like unicorns. I don't like animals that can talk.
That's where his problem is.
That is genuinely where the line was. Because he will, you should see his Audible list. Yeah. Man. He will read some craptastic and he doesn't care. He is like, I am on board with whatever crap is happening. As long as they aren't talking rats. Did you do Ready Player One?
I was, that made me think of that. Yeah, I loved Ready Player One.
Ready Player One's amazing, and Will Wheaton reads it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ready Player One seemed like, to me, it could have been something, and it was so much more. Like, it was like, it could have just been the cool sci-fi, whatever.
Yeah, no. It could have been just an easy read, and it is an easy read.
Yeah.
But it's so much
prolific.
More. It is, yeah.
And it, like, says something, and it's so cool, and it's a movie.
And it's wonderful. Yeah. And it's it says so many things.
Yeah.
And it, Ernie Klein, he's been on the Dork Forest, you guys.
What?
Yeah, find that one.
Is he nice?
He's really nice, and he owns a DeLorean.
What?
That he has a fake flux capacitor. I like that I had to say that it was fake.
Is he, was that his first, well, that wasn't his first book.
That was his first, no. He did Kevin Smith directed the movie he did about the Star Wars fan who got to see Phantom Menace before.
Oh, gotcha.
Which you wanted to be so much better than it was. And because we all were like, oh, why don't I have cancer and maybe I could see this movie? And then we all saw it and we were always like, oh, that's unfortunate. Darth Maul was cool. Okay.
Yeah.
So just try to find something good out of it. But Ready Player One, Player One was wonderful. And
it got really dark.
It got really dark, but it pulled itself out.
Oh, yeah. I love that it got dark.
Yeah.
And it made
sense.
It got
dark in the best way.
When I took, like, whatever writing class in there, or whatever, if you read the story by Robert McKee, it's like, whenever something does, like, something happens in a movie or a book or anything, it has to be the thing that has to happen, but also the thing that no one expects to happen. And I felt like that's what happened in that book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. What's your opinion about Neville being the chosen one? You got an opinion?
Well, no.
You're not a.
I haven't got on those message boards. I didn't know that was.
Oh, you didn't know that was a thing?
I didn't
know. Dumbledore explains that the reason Harry became the chosen one was because Voldemort picked him.
Yeah.
To kill.
Okay, so it could have been Neville.
It could have been Neville,
gotcha.
And Dumbledore makes the point that he says, you'll note that he picked the Muggle-born, the mudblood. He picked the half-magic instead of the pure-blood Neville Longbottom.
And he just tortured Neville's parents.
Oh, he tortured Neville's parents because they hunted dark
folk.
Wow.
That's a cool thing. I think it would have been interesting to see.
Right. Did you read? Oh, go ahead.
No, I just think it's a whole different set of flaws for the Chosen One.
It's a right.
Yeah,
and
it's a different story.
It would be an incredibly different story. Did you read Ender's Game?
Yes.
And did you read Ender's Shadow?
I didn't read. I read the sequels. I haven't read Ender's Shadow. That's where his friend.
That's Bean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ender's Shadow is almost better than Ender's Game.
And that's the same story, but if something different happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But from Bean's point of view.
Yeah.
Not if it's the exact same story.
Yeah.
But from Bean's point of view.
Yeah. And I loved Bean.
Bean's amazing, and Ender's Shadow is Empire Strikes Back. It's almost as good as Star Wars.
Yeah.
Or it would be better, but they couldn't be without Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
So Ender's Shadow couldn't be without Ender's Game.
Yeah.
And J.K. Rowling, if you're listening, and I know you are at this point, please write Neville's Shadow.
Well, it would be Harry's Shadow, right?
Harry's Shadow. It would be Harry's Shadow, but it would be from Neville's point of view, but it doesn't have to be where you could either change it and have, because Ender's Shadow isn't, there are no other choices.
Bean
is the hero that he is.
Yeah.
And I would love to see Neville be the hero that he is, because Neville turns out to be a hero in the end. He grows into it.
Uses the sword.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He obviously has Gryffindor in him.
And we give Neville a hard time, but I mean, they're like 10 when they come to a scary castle, and like, I was a nervous kid. Like, it's like, that's just like qualities that kids have when they're...
Right, and both of his parents, he doesn't turn into frickin' Batman.
Yeah.
Because... Yeah. We are mixing up our pop culture references.
We want
galore.
Harry Shadow, where Neville turns into a dark version of himself because he's seeking revenge
against Voldemort.
He's just living in the Forbidden Forest, learning from the half beasts.
Oh my God, so funny!
Yeah.
How about Anne McCaffrey? Did you ever read those Dragon Riders of Pern books?
No. I would love to, though. Those sound amazing.
And the Audibles are awesome.
Yeah.
Because I read them, mm-hmm. and then I listened to them on... I literally broke the cassettes. That's how many times I listened
well,
to them.
Well, maybe I did. How... They're old, then.
Yeah, yeah. Late 60s, early 70s.
I think I might have read a couple, like, when I was a kid.
The first nine are good.
Yeah.
The first three are great.
Okay.
There's three... It's essentially Dragon Riders of Pern... Dragon Breath. I think Dragon Breath.
Is that the one where they can move magic with a sword? Like, magic
no.
is a... Okay.
It's essentially people connect with a dragon for life.
Oh, wow.
And it's an old-timey, Middle Ages kind of planet called Pern.
Okay.
And so the dragons, and they speak telepathically. They bond at the birth of the dragons.
Yeah.
When they crack out of the egg.
Yeah.
They come, and their riders are like 10. And then, they were genetically modified to fight this one problem that this planet has.
Oh.
So it feels like a magic world in the first three books.
Yeah.
And it turns into a science fiction world
oh.
in the last three books. But Dragon Riders of Pern and Anne McCaffrey have a problem that exists in science fiction and okay. fantasy when publishers are like, no, keep writing. Keep writing that book until people die of old age.
Yeah.
And you're like, stop writing that book because I need Dumbledore to live forever. And I think Dumbledore had to die. And spoiler alert, if you haven't read, but I mean, the thing is he was very old.
We danced around it earlier.
Yes.
Didn't turn it off then. Yeah. I think when Sam was reading these books,
mm-hmm.
like I got to see the progression of her mind, like she would be very upset. And then like that just killed her. And then, like, I think it's one of those things where if something ever tragic happens, you try to think of, like, well, what could have happened instead? Like, what would I have given instead? Like, who would you have rather have died?
Right.
And it's scary to think, like, would I be okay with Hermione dying instead
right.
of her?
Mrs. Weasley? Are you kidding?
Like, am I going to? Yeah. And it's like, no, that's who died. And I mean, he was sick before, right?
Right.
That was the point.
He was sick.
Yeah.
So, but the, And he was sick because of pride.
Yeah, oh, wasn't it?
It was pride that did him.
He didn't go to Snape until it was too late.
And he made the wrong choice. And Snape was like, are you killing, me here? And what did you do? And he's like, well, I thought I could, no. And
Snape's like, sometimes he's like the IT guy. He's just like, really? what are you doing here? You're an idiot.
Back it up?
Yeah.
You did not back up. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh.
Well, I can't fix it if you didn't back it up. I can't create it out of nothing. Oh my God. I can maybe save some of it if I can get into your hard drive.
You.
Oh my God, that's the best analogy. You guys, Michael Palasek.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Palasek has a new album, and it is That One Thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is available iTunes, Amazon, hard copy, all the things.
Yeah.
And does MichaelPalasek.com exist?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And is your schedule on it?
Yeah, as my calendar on there.
Right. Where are you going to be at the end of March?
So the 14th through the 19th, which might be, I'll be at downtown Chicago, Zanies.
Oh, nice.
Middletown. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the weekend after. The 23rd through 25th, I'll be at Crackers in Broad Ripple.
Oh, the Broad Ripple one. Indianapolis one. Nice.
Yeah. So,
those are good gigs.
Yeah, those are two of my favorite clubs.
They're very awesome.
Yeah.
What do you think of that condo at Zanies?
You know what? I stay with my parents.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah.
So that's fine. And I actually like the place she puts us up at for Crackers.
You know what? She has always taken care of, like, the hotel has always been good there.
Yeah, it's a good hotel. Yeah. Anyway, it has been an hour, my friend.
All right.
You have done vital work.
This is so fun.
You guys, find Michael Palasek.
Thanks.
Find this album and obviously read 1,900 books. So an Audible counts.
Yeah.
Rangers, you know the rules out there, especially now. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?